evil operations which lead to corruption. Mary Baker Eddy states that mortal man is barraged constantly with temptations, and that one must form a perfect model in thought and revert to it in their consciousness constantly in order to protect oneself from this continuous barrage of evil temptations. It is very easy to criticize the U.S. government or any government, whether it's local, city, state, or any country in the world, because everyone within that realm that one is considering is under this belief that these temptations have power, unless one does specific work to protect one's consciousness. And the work must be continuous. Foul language, for example, is common. Johnny Carson had one of the most popular shows on television for many years. And during that time period, there wasn't a single foul word of profanity ever permitted to be voiced. What his personal life was about is none of our business, whatever that may be, whether it was pristine or whether it was at a very low level. That is not our business. In public, he was very civil, very refined in terms of his language, and the networks, none of them, permitted profanity to be used. But today, profanity is common throughout the entire world with all ages. This is one of the many evil operations that influences the entire society to lower their moral standards. The population is influenced also by music. There again, the lowest standard anyone can think of in terms of the language. It's very profane. Movies are another media that influences one. Books, publications, channels on the internet, even titles to articles are very slanted toward a low moral value, or let's say a lack of moral value. Governments seem to be in the business of controlling the population instead of representing them. It is common belief that if you can lower the moral standard of the population, you can control them more easily. Obviously, anyone that is a thinker on their own wants to be independent and free from government control. So one of the beliefs about evil is that if you control the media, some of the various forms of media have already been mentioned, then if you control the media, you can form the thoughts of the listeners any way you desire if you use repetition. So not only repetition, but they use every form so that the suggestions of foul, low morals are barraging the population in every direction. All thought, speech, and action are therefore attracted to do what they see, hear, and find others are thinking about. And eventually, one feels that is the only way to conduct oneself, because everyone is doing it. One of the three-letter agencies of the U.S. government has a project called Mockingbird. Project Mockingbird. And its motive is to control the media and project lies on a repetitious basis. And their goal is that everyone in the population will believe a lie to be the truth. So they manufacture lies and repeat them through the various forms of media, such as have been suggested, and they made a statement that when everyone believes a lie to be the truth, then Project Mockingbird will have accomplished its goal. Christian scientists have a great advantage over those who are not Christian scientists, because we have a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which gives us everything we need to know about how to conduct our lives. It includes all of the key points from the Bible and translates it to how we can use it to our advantage every day, every moment of every day of our lives, so that we can elevate above this entire atmosphere of materiality. We can elevate from a mortal mind to the immortal mind, from matter to spirit, from material senses to spiritual senses, to principle, which is balance and harmony, from chaos and discord, from material life to spiritual life, to the real truth, the truth of reality, up from errors and mistakes, and from true spiritual love, from the materialistic, emotional, lustful, sensual, bodily love. And all of these come to abrupt disappointments, whether it's mortal mind or matter or material sense, whether it's a life of chaos and discord, whether it's errors and mistakes, or whether it is a love which has nowhere to go except down. Mary Baker Eddy states that she makes strong demands on love. In other words, real love is not a physical love. It is impersonal and spiritual and can be shared with the whole world and should be. It should be our model that we project, no matter who we're talking to, or what we're thinking about, or what actions we're involved in. A pure, impersonal love should be the atmosphere that is surrounding everything. In what we think, say, and do. Jesus made the statement that what we think is the same as doing it. Therefore, we must clean out the skeletons that are in the closet that was a thought, even though we didn't carry through with an action, if it is anything less than a God thought. In other words, a thought about perfection and spiritual wholeness. It is important not to focus on the faults of others. Mary Baker Eddy states that we will keep plenty busy taking care of our own thoughts, speech, and action without being concerned with others. The Bible states that we should pray without ceasing. A 24-hour period is filled with moments, unlimited number of moments. For a moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. Mary Baker Eddy states that the only power obtainable is the good that we do and embody. That's where our moments should be devoted, to doing good and embodying it. If we embody goodness, we will be automatically projecting it in thought, speech, and action. The key is to not be influenced by the barrage of temptations that are all around everyone on planet Earth. The less we spend our effort, thought, speech, and action on any kind of media other than pure Christian Science, the easier it will be for us to keep in tune with a perfect model. If one wants to find out what the latest problems are, they can just read a headline and get an idea. And then when they do that, they could immediately treat that particular problem. That is our duty, to do our part to negate the evils that are being presented to the public. Mary Baker Eddy devoted time 3 times a day to pray for all humanity. We could do better than that by constantly including all humanity in our thoughts in an impersonal way. If we see something evil, or we read about it, or notice a headline about it, we can apply that to all humanity, that no one can be influenced erroneously by the evil that is being reported in this particular article. Because there is only one child that is being in existence in the entire universe, and that is the child of God. And we all reflect that perfect child of God. We have the capacity to do it, and there's nothing that can block our ability to reflect that perfect child of God. If we want to be like the perfect child of God, then we must act like it. It's like the actor that Mary Baker Eddy refers to in Science and Health. He had aches and pains, and he hobbled to go to the theater where he was an actor, and he was going to be up on stage performing his part. So he would have a problem even getting to the theater. He would sit in his chair awaiting his cue to come up on stage. And once he received the cue, he was a changed individual because he knew that he had to play his part as if he was a young man. And he did so. And he did it perfectly. We have to act like we are on the stage of perfection, doing everything perfectly all the time, and never think about ourselves as hobbling or having pain or problems, no matter what the cause seems to be. We need to have that perfect model, and we need to live it. Dr. Fluno was one of Mary Baker Eddy's early students, and he wrote an article on criticism, and that was one of many things that she had him deliver talks on as one of the early lecturers back in the 1880s. And he says basically that criticism of others leads to all evil. And he says it prevents healing. He said more than any other bad trait, criticism is the problem. Whenever we observe evil taking place by an individual or a group of individuals or a large cadre, such as a government, instead of doing the common thing of condemning it on a personal level, we need to view it in an impersonal way and deny that that evil has no power to control anyone, and then immediately switch our thinking to the reverse of what seems to be the problem, and focusing on the qualities of God and how we know that God is the only power. No one can be influenced erroneously to be a part of a group that is doing something evil. But the evil in itself has no foundation, and therefore no one can be a part of something without any foundation, for it doesn't really exist. The way evil operates is it uses deceit and enticement. And then it hooks the subject for which it is trying to deceive and control. Just like when one goes fishing, they have a hook and they have bait, and they try to entice the fish to come and bite on the bait, and then they get the hook caught in their mouth. That is exactly how evil operates. And as a result, the object of their deceit is put into a compromising position of low morals, and they film it, and then they use that for blackmail to coerce the individual to perform corrupt acts. And they may start with something small and build up to something larger and larger and larger until the individual's life is controlled by the blackmail. And so they're trapped. One of the many beautiful things about Christian Science is that it is a preventative as well as a curative medicine. It would alert us, if we stay on our toes, to prevent being involved in any enticements. Mary Baker Eddy states that we should not get into an immoral atmosphere unless in an attempt to purify it. But the problem is, normally the victim doesn't even realize what is going on. They may be drugged, which would entirely put them out of the realm of logical thinking. And that is typically the way it happens. This is one of the substantial reasons why we do not want to criticize others, because we don't know what kind of circumstances were involved in order for them to be conducting themselves the way they do. We can handle it on an impersonal way and show impersonal love by reverting our thinking to what the real child of God is, and know that that is the only child that exists. And everyone has the ability to be reflecting that perfect child. So our focus needs to be along those kind of lines instead of the lines of condemnation. Now, that doesn't mean that we ignore evil at all. In fact, recently, thanks to the new administration in the U.S. government, which was effective January 20, 2025, that they established a department called DOGE, for Department of Government Efficiency. And they have Elon Musk that is in charge of that department, and he is a computer genius, and he was able to put together a computer team, and they have been deeply analyzing all the activities of the federal government. The old adage about follow the money is exactly what they're doing. They're tracking all money in and out of the U.S. government. And they're just finding billions and billions of dollars, if not hundreds of billions, that are linked to corruption, waste, duplication, credit cards that are issued that are not even being used, computer software that has been purchased and they don't even have computers for it, all kinds of wasteful things because there has been no discipline and no tracking, no balancing of the books, no auditing. And matter of fact, they have done audits on the Department of Defense and they have never passed an audit. And yet, in the past, they just keep letting them operate. That is all coming to a screeching halt. Their goal is to reduce the size of government by 95%. For anyone that wants to have an improved spiritual life, one of the things that one needs to be aware of is that one must block evil things from entering into consciousness. Because getting rid of something that is evil is much more difficult than preventing it from being accepted into consciousness in the beginning. And once it is in consciousness, it compounds. It is addictive. The same reason they put some of these chemicals in foods, they are addictive. So it tastes good. And therefore, you want to have more of it and have it more often, when the whole thing is an evil operation to have you be eating things that you should never even put in your mouth. In fact, we have a new individual in the administration that is in charge of health. And he has been studying this for his whole life. And he is very intelligent and very knowledgeable about all of the corruption that's going on to damage the health of anyone that follows the normal trend of buying food that is available in the grocery store. And just yesterday, which was March 17, 2025, he was able to ban a variety of ingredients that were being put into foods that were a poison. They were addictive and apparently had a good flavor. For example, when people want to lose weight, instead of drinking a soft drink that is a regular one, they drink one that has the word diet in the name. And that has some of the ingredients that are referred to here. And they're absolute poison. I'm not even going to repeat some of the ingredients because they're so disgusting to even think about the words. The fluoride has been put into our water for years, for decades, and it is poison. You can look at some foods and you're attracted to it because of the wonderful color, and the coloring is poison. There is a concerted effort to reduce the population through these kinds of means as well as other ones. Every disease has been created by the drug industry. Every single one. They're in the business to sell drugs, and so they create a disease and then sell you for your life drugs to try to cure you from it. Many of these top people in the drug industry have been sent to the prison called Gitmo, and they've been executed. But there are tens of thousands more that are involved. And everyone that they do take, you know, arrest and take them down there, they test them for these things that they're selling and promoting. For example, the vaccine. And no one ever takes it that is promoting it to the population because they know that it's poison. It is a genocide, flat out. As Christian Scientists, we have the opportunity to protect ourselves and to make us alert to things that are absolutely wrong. And we must practice it with every thought, speech, and action. We must live our prayer. And just like the introductory quote at the beginning of Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy, which says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest. Thou hear and everywhere." Well, what is her prayer? Her prayer is living the qualities of God. And they work for us when we work to refine our understanding of them. God helps those who help themselves. Well, God's not a person. The laws of God are in place and always have been. Anything that is ever true has always been true and has always been in existence. All we have to do to benefit from the power of the truth is to follow it. get self out of the way and follow the truth. And matter of fact, the first quote at the beginning of Science and Health says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one, that was by Christ Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. And the second quote is from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And there's a total of three quotes, and the first one that I mentioned is the third one that is noted at the beginning of the textbook. We do not have to accept, and we should not accept, the low moral standard that permeates America and all of the other countries. We must focus on the truth and on the qualities of God, no matter what comes our way. In fact, that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy stated to one of her students that was having trouble healing a vision problem. And she wrote back and said, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way?" See, that's the key. We have to focus on the truth about what God is, about what man is, and the relationship between God and man. We have to focus on spirit, not matter, on immortal mind, not mortal mind, on spiritual senses, not material senses, on the principle of balance and harmony, not a false one, which is chaos and discord. We must focus on spiritual life, living the qualities of God, not one based on a sensuous, lustful, material realm. On the website, which by the way is mbeinstitute.org, there are all the tools that anyone needs to elevate their life from where they are to a higher standard. And there's no limit to how far you can progress with the tools that are on the website. God is infinite. There's no limit with infinite. Infinitude is without limit. Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. We must know by reminding ourselves continually that everything good is possible with God. And there is no limit to time or space or any topic that we may want to address. There is no limit to healing. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the finest practitioners since Mary Baker Eddy, determined how to treat backwards in time. He handled over 500 cases where he treated back in time. In other words, he treated it effective as when the problem first occurred. And you can figure out for yourself what that means. It's more than just having a healing. That is the perfect kind of healing. think about what that could possibly mean. Everything is on our website. We're available through our message system. And if you want to talk, give us your number and we'll call you. If you're in the U.S. or Canada. If you're not, then we ask that you have a free, encrypted, secure voice service through Telegram. Just go to telegram.org and it's a free download. You can install it on any computer. Everyone that is affiliated with the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is a volunteer. The only ones that are not volunteers are paid contractors that work on the website. They're very experienced. They've either had a master's degree that they've earned, or they were one of the top in their graduating class for a bachelor's degree. Browse through the website and you will see the depth of the tools that are available and the ease with which to get to exactly what you need. Because we focus on easy navigation. Jesus was not able to do very many healings in Galilee, which is where he grew up, because everybody thought of him as being just a regular individual with no special ability to heal. They thought of him either as a boy or as a carpenter, which was the profession that he practiced in his adulthood until he started his ministry at age 30. So he left there and he went other places in his healing ministry. If our thought is not open to the possibilities of God, we cannot be successful in our healing, in improving our spiritual life. If you need faith, read the last 101 pages of the 700-page textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. And in it are 101 pages of testimonies of people that were healed by just studying intently the textbook. They didn't have any outside help. No practitioner at all. They were their own practitioner. And you can be your own practitioner. And we tell you the method that you should study if you want to be 100% successful in your efforts. It's all on the website. It's important to realize that the life of Christ Jesus was a life of love, a life of giving. He gave his whole effort to helping others. Mary Baker Eddy, the same way. Frederick L. Rawson, the same way. That is the magic, if you want to call it that. It's really the science which enables instantaneous healing of any problem. Overcoming the total belief of time. Instantaneous healing. And that can be, like Frederick L. Rawson discovered, to go back to when the problem first occurred. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being, so we have to be progressing. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We only need to progress a little bit each day. And if we don't backslide, then we are compounding our progress. Compounding. It's a geometric curve, not an arithmetic straight line. And that's what we want. We want to compound. But giving is the key. We have to love. We have to have a life of giving. Do you give away only things that you don't want? Do you give any money to any worthy people that need it? Or any worthy cause? Although you got to be very careful about giving money to an institution. Even the Red Cross, it used to be really a wonderful organization that did great things for people that were involved in the ridiculous thing called wars. You cannot trust Red Cross to give them a penny. It's totally corrupt. Churches, totally corrupt. They're all in the business to make money. The only way you can be safe in giving, which should be the focus of your life, is to do it yourself. You have to find the people that are in need and find out what their problem is and help them solve it. You don't just give them money either, because most people don't know how to manage money. Very few do. The most successful people in earning big money usually never have anything at the end. You should do a little research on the retirement home for movie actors and actresses. Some of the biggest money makers are living there because they don't have the money to live on their own. They've lost everything they've earned. Everything. And if they are living on their own, they're usually living a very modest life. Very few had the intelligence to find out how to manage their money properly. Very few. Tiny, tiny decimal. Most of them are broke. Broke. They might have earned hundreds of millions and ended up broke. They discovered that real substance was not matter, because that can be lost. We need to find the people that need help, find out what the problem is, and be involved in helping them solve it. It's much better to teach somebody how to fish than to give them a fish. We should be devoting, if we're an average person, 10% of our total resources. That means our income, our assets, everything we have. And if we want to be better than average, if we want to be a B student, we should be giving twice that much. Three times that much if we want to be an A plus student. And it's work. Carnegie, the one that built the steel company that sold it, that became U.S. Steel, after he sold it to U.S. Steel, he devoted his life to giving his money away. And he had to work. He built universities, libraries, public buildings in several countries. But he had to work. He had to go there and do it one at a time. He didn't just give money away. He used the money so that it would be useful for the purposes that he desired. Money is something that is usually not understood, and it becomes evil. The money itself is not evil, but it entices people to do evil things, and you are usually victimized by people that want to get something for nothing. You may have a very prosperous business that you started from scratch, and you take into the business somebody that you trust, and you give them signing authority on a bank account. That authority has the capacity to totally change the character of the individual. So you have to understand that if you're the one that has the investment of effort to make that business successful, that's something you better not do. That's what principle is all about. That's what truth is all about. You have to have a system of checks and balances, even on yourself. So that you are not a victim of your own success. Checks and balances. Mathematics, accounting, bookkeeping. There's many ways to have a system of checks and balances. You have to practice it to the T in every department of your business. And our life is our business, so we need to do it in every department of our life. How about time management? Have you studied time management so you know how to manage your time? Have you studied how to read a book so you know the proper way to read a book or read a computer screen? You know, they're digital now. Mortimer Adler was the chief editor of Encyclopedia Britannica. In 1940, he wrote a book called How to Read a Book. Have you ever read it? Have you ever studied it? Have you ever practiced what it is teaching? If you take any advanced classes in almost any topic, you will find that the teacher, the instructor, will repeat what he says, and he will constantly refer to the basics, because that's what success requires. People that are expert pianists, they practice the hand and exercises. If you know anything about music, you know that's the standard in exercises. They practice this hand and exercises. Doesn't matter how many millions that they could be making on every performance. They practiced the Hannon exercises. One of the famous pianists that performs in a very high profile place said that if he misses one day of practice, he knows it. If he misses 2 days, the critics know it. If he misses 3 days, the public knows it. Anything in which we want to be truly successful, we must practice it continuously. And of course, the most important thing in which one should be successful or desire to be is our spiritual development. I attended one of the classes from a very well internationally respected individual. And I went up after the, after the first, or in the first break. And I said, I noticed that every key point, you're repeating it so that we hear it 3 times. Maybe different ways, but it's basically the same key point. And he said, that's right. He said, no, I don't have a memory problem. He said, but I've studied human nature and how the brain functions. And he said, if you hear it once, there's an extremely high potential that you'll never remember a thing about it. If you hear it twice, you will remember more. If you hear it 3 times, you'll remember more than twice. He said, but the only way to really remember something is to live it. Make it your own. Change the words around in your own words. Just make sure you keep with the same meaning. He said, that's the only way you will ever remember anything, by living it. Well, we have to live Christian Science if we want to remember it. We can't wait till we have a problem and say, gee, let's see now, what do I do? No, it has to be taken in stride. You have to go with the flow, and the river is always flowing. When I start one of these recordings, I don't know what I'm going to discuss. The thought comes to me about a particular topic, and I let the truth lead me. I don't write down any notes. Everything is extemporaneous. And whatever thought comes to me, I voice it. And I publish it. I listen to it myself several times after it's published. I don't edit anything. Unless there's a phone that rings and I have to re-record the last sentence or something so that the phone ringing noise is not in the recording. But other than that, I don't edit anything. I don't listen to it until after the fact, until after everyone has an opportunity to listen to it by posting it on the website. We give you specific instructions on how you can be successful in your spiritual advancement and show you how that can be applied to your everyday work and profession, no matter what you're in. All the details are on the website. But remember, if you want to really be successful, you have to probably make a major transformation from thinking about yourself and your own progress and turn it around and cultivate a life of making other people successful. Help them get out of their problem, whatever it takes. Sometimes it might be some money, but generally it's something that money might be required to buy, or your time that you may need to donate. We have 1,440 minutes every single 24-hour period. How are we going to use it? It was already mentioned, the importance of studying time management. Boy, that's one you've got to practice. How to read a book, you've got to practice it. How about speed reading? You have to practice it. You speed read depending on various circumstances, which is explained in How to Read a Book and others. I mean, if you really want to be proficient, you have to go after it. You have to live it. Look at all resources, not just the ones I mentioned, but everything about your life. You see, to improve your spiritual life, you have to improve everything in your so-called daily life, because it all fits together. It is a mental atmosphere that you are creating of success in every single thing you do. Everyone you have a relationship with. A relationship, what do I mean by that? You go to a store. The checkout person, you have a relationship with them, because you have contact. Everyone you have contact with, you have a relationship. And you have to make sure you manage it properly. To do that, you have to be using your moments to practice giving. Are you interested in them? Are you interested in the checkout clerk? You should be. She's doing you a service. If you use one of these automatic checkouts, whoever thought of devising that and inventing it, robots that do things, they do a lot of things. You have to be grateful for the people that thought of the ideas. Any good idea comes from the one and only mind. Are we grateful for that infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind where the ideas came from? Are we grateful for the intelligence that was required? The creative ability? The wisdom? The knowing? The capacity, capability, functionality, the action. These are all qualities of God. Everything that exists is a quality of God. And if it's evil, then you flip it and think about the opposite. It's like the bad gardener. Two gardeners were taking care of estates that were adjacent to each other. And every once in a while, when the gardener would begin his day, he would see there's a hole in the ground, because the gardener next door, who wasn't very good, but he was good at being a thief, he would steal the plant. Somebody happened to be with him when he was going out to his garden for the first time of the day, and there was a hole there. And he said, "You have a beautiful garden, but what's with this hole? Did it get too late for you last night when you finished work and you thought you'd take care of it today?" He said, "No." He says, "My best friend has that plant." He said, "What do you mean, your best friend?" "Well, he's a gardener that has trouble, and so when he needs a plant, he comes over here and takes one of mine." "Well, why do you call him your best friend?" "Because he reminds me of not what I want to be doing. You see, he flips it. He sees evil take place and he flips it. And he looks for the lemonade. Turns the lemon into a lemonade. He reminds me of what I shouldn't be doing. So he's my best friend. Are we reminded of what we shouldn't be doing? Is that what we think about when we see evil? We should. We need to flip it. Look for the lemonade. When you study Christian Science, you're studying how to become a whole, whole, individual idea of God. You are already there, but you don't know it. You're blinded to it because of all the crud that we have in our consciousness from all the things that are barraging all around us, trying to influence us erroneously. We have the greatest opportunity in the world by studying Science and Health and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings, because she covers all the important things in the Bible. She puts them into a framework where you can use it every day. She had probably the greatest vocabulary of anyone, next to Noah Webster. So you would have a greatly improved vocabulary if you learn every single word that she uses. And look up and study some of them that you think you know. For example, hearing. People think they know what hearing is. Using your ears and H-E-A-R. But there's not one in a million that knows that that means understanding. Probably not one in 10 million. Yes, hearing means understanding. And if you're going to do spiritual hearing, you're going to have spiritual understanding. Not just understanding, but you're going to understand it on a higher level, a spiritual level, which is how the whole universe operates. It operates on spirit, not matter. You think somebody, some individual, created all the stars and everything out of matter? You think matter is what attracts us to gravity? There's only one force, and it's mind. Mind. And it's not material mind. It's not brain. It is spiritual, immortal, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Do you think money is substance? Talk to 99% of the great movie stars that earned big bucks that have nothing, that are living at the retirement home for actors and actresses, because they pay into it all their life, and therefore they're entitled to be there when they are out of money. And they're out of money. They're out of money. 99.99% of them are out of money. Very few go to the trouble to learn how to manage their money. If you're going to invest in the stock market or a commodity market, or you're going to become a real estate tycoon, you better learn how to do it yourself. Because no one has the interest that you do, because it's your money. And the best don't offer their services to other people. They manage their own. They manage their own money. You have to become a whole person if you're going to study how to be a better spiritual person. because everything about your life needs to be transformed from wherever it is to a higher level, to a higher degree of principle, to a higher degree of love, to a higher degree of intelligence and wisdom and knowing and action, a better view of what real substance is, from a material to a spiritual, a better life to a life that is a life of giving instead of a life of taking. We're friends with a number of different organizations that are oriented to Christian Science, and one of them sends out 2,000 emails a week providing a weekly lesson on the topic, the same topic that Mary Baker Eddy designated for that week out of her 26 topics. And I asked the person doing the work how long it takes them to do it. And of course they have a program and everything that they use, but you know, when they send emails out, people will change their emails from time to time, so it comes back undelivered, and so they have to research it and make corrections here and there, and they end up spending 4 or 5 hours doing it once a week. And I said, how many people send you an email back of gratitude, thank you for what you're doing? She said, she almost laughed at me. She said, are you kidding? I might get one, maybe none, maybe two. Out of 2,000, even Christian Scientists who are supposed to be cultivating love above everything else, they live hate. They live hate. They take. They're a taker. Whatever they can get free, they take. Are you any different? Probably not. Most everyone wants to take, and they live their life taking. They want software for their computer, they'll look for free software. Most people that offer free software have a donate button. Do you ever donate? When it's up to you on what you do? If you do not appreciate that love is the key word under which all the other qualities operate, because love means nurturing. So if you're trying to develop a better intelligence level, love nurtures that. Love is the nurturing function. So if you don't have an atmosphere of love, forget it. You're fighting an uphill battle. You have to start with love. And if you're going to have a relationship with all of God's qualities, you have to start with giving to others, just like Jesus did, and Mary Baker Eddy, and Paul, and how about John? John suffered through being in a pot of oil. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How about Daniel in the lion's den? Everyone is going to have their challenges. If you haven't had a challenge, you haven't done anything. There is no one that has been truly successful without going through hell to get there. They had a burning desire. And hopefully they're not like movie stars that they end up in the poorhouse at the end. Hopefully they study enough about money management so that they can give more. That's the beauty of earning more, having more, so you can give more. Do you give more? Do you give anything? I know someone that was approaching his vehicle when he came out of a store, And somebody walked up to him and asked him for a donation. And the guy looked good. You know, he didn't look like some homeless person. And so he asked him, he says, well, why do you want the money? He said, I lost my job and I don't have any money for food. He said, what do you do? He said, I'm a handyman. And I love it. I can fix anything. I know electrical, plumbing, carpentry, you name it, and I can do it. And the man that was there that he was trying to get the money from, he said, you know, I've got a list of things that I need done at my house. If you're really a handyman, I'll give you an opportunity to get out of your hole and earn some money. He ended up working for him for 3 months. He got everything on the list done. And by the time he was done, he had a job offer that paid him pretty good money. Do we take the time to try to help somebody solve their problem? Do we ask any questions if they're begging? I mean, we have one of the highest percentages of homeless people of any country in the world. What are we doing about it? Do you have any talents that you can teach other people to help them? If you're a carpenter, have you thought about teaching other people to be a carpenter or a plumber, electrician? How about if you know music? Have you thought about teaching children that don't have the money to pay for a teacher? If we let our thought run free, there is no limit to the ideas that will come to us on how we can help others. No limit. I'm very grateful for every single person that has written anything that I've read and gained inspiration from. All the authors in the Bible, Mary Baker Eddy with all of her writings, other advanced Christian Science students that I've learned from, individuals that I've known, that I've learned from, in business, in Christian Science, in everything. We have an opportunity to learn from everyone. I'm grateful for every single one I've learned anything from on any topic. I'm going to close with a short prayer from Mary Baker Eddy that she taught her class in 1898, which was in the Metaphysical College, and anyone attending that class had to be invited personally by her. And when they finished that class, they were given a CSD degree for Doctorate of Christian Science. So I'm going to read you one of those short prayers that she tells us, even in the prayer, that we should repeat it often. And remember what I mentioned. If you really want to learn, you have to live it. Put it in your own words. Just make sure that you keep with the real thought that was intended, the real message. I will read it now. Diapason of heaven, with a focus on spirit, by Mary Baker Eddy, as provided by Mary Baker Eddy to her doctoral students in the College of Divine Metaphysics, 1898. 98. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit, individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen.